The third Aliyah of Parshas Vayakel begins, V'yomer Moshe b'nei Yisrael re'u kara Hashem b'shem Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur l'matei Yehuda. And the Gemara in Maseches Brachos tells us that we see from here that a parnas, a leader, is not appointed on the tzibor without the approval of the tzibor. And the Gemara tells us that Hashem asked Moshe to approve this appointment, and Moshe was taken aback. If God appoints him, then for sure Moshe would have to approve. And the message is, no, that the people have to endorse the appointment. And indeed, the people are surprised that they're being asked, and the message is conveyed to them that they have to approve. And the Torah Tumima quotes the Tashbetz here, who derives from this point that a king that's appointed without the approval of the tzibor cannot judge with coercion, with kfiya. The Medrash notes that the people were at first suspicious of Moshe because Bezalel was his relative, so therefore he had to point out to them that he was chosen actually by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Concerning the word Re'u, Reb Moshe Feinstein notes in his Darash Moshe that we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose him because the fact that God gave him kochos, it must mean that one is meant to use those kochos, those potentials for mitzvos, and even though one has bechira, one has free will, but they will be called to account if they don't use the talents and the potentials that they are given for positive ends. And others point out that Moshe had to emphasize that all of his skill came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu because people were praising him and were so impressed. Therefore, it was necessary to highlight that these kochos indeed came from Hashem. Torah also emphasizes his lineage here, Ben Uri Ben Hur, and the Sefer Ben Chia. He notes that the Yichus is highlighted here as opposed to in Parshas Kisisa, where he's first mentioned, in order to show that Yichus is valuable only if one continues in the path of the ancestors. So it's mentioned here together with the compliments that are given to him for his personal character. The Lev Avram, or Avram Weinfeld, notes that Bezalel was the grandson of Hur, who was himself Moser Nefesh, and he was the son of Miriam, who was also Moser Nefesh, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that they would have houses of Melucha and of Kahuna. Yocheved got that right away by having Aaron and Moshe, and Miriam had to wait a few generations until Bezalel, who was from Yehuda and who made the Mishkan. In Pasuk Lamed Gimel, we read about the key term Melachas Machsheves. Melachas Machsheves here, which is transferred over to the concept of Shabbos and becomes the key term in determining what is the nature of the kind of malacha for which one is liable on Shabbos. It's a difficult term to translate. One would instinctively translate it probably in two different ways, either understanding machsheves as meaning that which involves thought or that which is important. And both seem to make sense in different contexts. If we look at unklus over here, unklus refers to umanvan, that which is associated probably with artistry. And that's also the way Rashi and Maseches Beitza and Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis translates it as referring to umnin. Rav Shalom Shmuel Hirsch understands it to mean literally work that is entailing of thought. Human malacha in its full sense is therefore defined as the conscious creative realization of thought by means of human skill. Moshe Feinstein in the Dibros Moshe to Maseches Beitza notes that there are many malachos that clearly don't require artistry, but rather we refer to malacha as something that we do intentionality-wise rather than being a part of something else such as eating or some other natural involvement. Practically speaking, we find many different applications of the term malachas machsheves. In some ways, it means that the malacha is significant, consistent with a translation such as cheshivas. In some ways, it reflects intentionality, reflecting a interpretation such as machshava. In some ways, it seems to mean something along the lines of artisanal, and in some cases, it represents a liability, and in some cases, it represents an exemption, meaning sometimes an action will be exempt on Shabbos because it fails to be called Melachas Machsheves, and sometimes an action that otherwise one would have been exempt for, one is Chayev on Shabbos because it is considered to be Melachas Machsheves. In Pasuk Lamed Dalet, so we find here the phrase Ulahoros Nasan Belibo, so that is translated by the Medrash Rabbah in Shmos as to learn, while the Rashbam and the Ibn Ezra understands it to mean to teach others. The Rebbeinu Miuchas understands that it comes from a language meaning to throw, and the Arachayim understands that to mean that Bezalel is being praised for not keeping his knowledge secret. In Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Vav, we read, Vayitzav Moshe, Ve'aviru kol b'machne lemor, Ish v'isha, al yasu od malacha, l'srumas ha-kodesh, Vayikale ha'am mehavi. This is one of the sources the Gemara Masech Shabbos and Daf Tzadi Vav Medbeis brings as a possible basis for the prohibition of carrying on Shabbos for Hotzah. There's much to discuss about this. Rebecca of Kamenetsky notes that it's interesting that even though we have a tradition that the laws of Shabbos were taught at Mara, we find that Hotzah is being taught here, and he suggests that one understanding of why that is that the whole idea of Shabbos, that there's a prohibition to be creative, in recognition of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Mara was a good opportunity to convey that message, because at that time, the wood was thrown into the water and turned the bitter into sweet. That shows that God is in control of the physical world, and it's a good time to show that He created it and that we should abstain from creation. But the idea that a change in location, moving something from one place to the next, it's very hard to relate to that as something that is creative, and therefore it was difficult for the people to understand that Hotzah should be included in the category of Malachos. But now that we're learning about the Mishkan, and the concept of Kedushas HaMakom is something that is being introduced, and that there is such enormous significance to location, now it's possible to teach that moving something from one place to the next is actually significant and can be considered a malacha. That is now a message that can be conveyed. In the Sefer Ohel Moshe, quotes from Hasham Shem Rafael Hirsch, that all of the malachos are zecher l'maisa bereishis, with the exception of Hotzah, which is zecher l'tzias Mitzrayim. And Rav Schwab notes that only the Rishus HaYachid can be suffused with Kedusha Shabbos, because the Rishus HaRabim is where the whole rest of the world is. So in that sense, Hotzah is similar to Yetzias Mitzrayim, because it is about the sharp division between the place of holiness, or its opposite, and the whole rest of the world. In terms of this notion of Aliyah Su'od, the Ralbag notes that there is a source from here that one should not bring more than is appropriate to the Hekdesh, and that this is the basis for the Takanas Usha, that Al Yavazvez Yosem Yechomesh, that one should not spend more than a fifth of what he has on tzedakah and on mitzvos, as we understand it, because that leads to a concern that one will become impoverished and will have to become dependent on the tzibur. And as he notes, that if one indeed becomes Nitzrach Lebrios, if one has to ask the congregation for support, that will create a Chil Hashem, because people will come to think that tzedakah is bad and leads to people becoming impoverished.